We continue the conversation here on the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Paul Shavari, and myself, Mike Mercado, on this entire story that's been happening at Northwestern. And as the week has progressed, you have kind of been following us, whether it's on the YouTube channel at the Sports Cubicle or wherever you get your podcast at Sports from the Couch and WCPT's 820 SoundCloud. And of course, on Twitter at the Sports Cubicle. How we've been breaking this down, how emotionally we've been working through this. I think a lot of us are in different stages of our fandom and our lives. And as the story has unfolded, a lot of people have been frustrated, disappointed, sad. And I'm so excited that I finally get a chance to sit down and talk to Marver about what's been happening. And since the last time that we've all talked, we have finally heard from the president of Northwestern, Mike Schill. We finally heard from Derek Craig, the AD from Northwestern. Pat Fitzgerald's lawyer and himself have come out with a statement, and we'll get into that in a second. And Jim Foster finally was let go after the report came out from Danny Parkins over at 670 The Score. And long story short, a system, whether from the top of the heap knowing, or it was a systematic thing, or it was an isolated thing, a program slash programs. This goes back to 06 with the women's soccer team, I even believe, of hazing, of homophobia, of racism, of just really nasty stuff for an institute that the state of Illinois really holds, probably a private institute, but nonetheless an institute, a school that a lot of us have so much respect for, whether it's the business school, the journalism school, which really shined this entire week. And then the athletic programs. We believe in Northwestern. We believe in UIC. We believe in U of I. These are things that we hold dear, some of the last bastions that we hold dear in this crazy world. And then this stuff finally kind of comes down. And as this Sunday, as of this recording, I think it's crazy, Marver, that we have finally gotten to this point. And, you know, just to kind of set the table up for you of where I'm at, when it comes to Pat Fitzgerald, whether he knew or he didn't know, he had to be let go. It's a bad look for the program. And it's also a bad look on how he presented himself. He presented himself as the captain of the ship. So he had to be the one that dealt with the responsibility and whatever the fallout was going to be. The Jim Foster thing was crazy to me, because it's just Jim Foster. It's just your baseball coach. How are you going to wait all week long when these reports are even more salacious than the reports that came out about Pat Fitzgerald? But this is also an athletic department that absolutely dropped the ball. From their notes that they gave out to the media, to the way they handled Zoom meetings with the players. AD Craig was on vacation, and Mike Schill at every turn looked like a goofball, for lack of a better term. So that's where I'm at. And I'm going to give it to you, Marver, but also I wanted to add a note. Some people were talking about, was it in distaste, or should Pat Fitzgerald have hired a lawyer? Look at, I think Pat Fitzgerald deserved to lose his job. I also believe Northwestern deserves to be dragged through the mud and lose the money that they owed him because they bungled this. They're the ones that came up with a 2-week suspension. What changed from Friday to Monday? Nothing. So, Marver, that's where I'm at. So at least you have an idea of where kind of where I sit when we're having this cup of coffee. But, you know, you and I are family members of well-renowned, successful coaches, and you've been covering sports forever. You've coached, you've scouted, you've done it all, and you've heard this story. How did it impact you the Monday, not the Friday when the report came out and the 2-week suspension, but that Monday when everything, that weekend, when everything came out from the Northwestern Medill students? How did it impact you?
Well, this is a terrible story from start to finish, but I guess we have to give credit to the media, to the reporters, that uncovered the story. And 17 years, the most successful, by all accounts, coach at Northwestern football, Pat Fitzgerald, a player of great renown as well. When the story first came out, we talked about Friday to Monday. It's like, you know, we were talking about a reference to Hogan's Heroes, I Know Nothing, which is unfortunately not good enough because you're in charge of the program. So that's why the Friday to Monday came around, in my opinion, once it was realized that this guy, even if it happened and he knew nothing, he had no knowledge of it, it's over for him. And it's too bad, because he was building a pretty good program up until last year. I thought he'd lose his job because he was 1-11 In any event, he didn't even win a game on the North American continent last year. So it was, in terms of performance, I thought he was on shaky ground. But be that as it may, the first thought I had is I'm wondering how many other programs actually have hazing where the coach isn't aware of it. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if there are other Big Ten schools where this occurs. So I bet you they're kind of nervous right now. And Northwestern is academically the pillar of the conference, the highest academic standards by far, a private school, and Chicago's Big Ten team. So as a result, it's very disappointing. But on the other hand, it was necessary. I'm interested about the legal aspects. Hired an attorney, and there may be grounds for some type of additional settlement because there was a so-called agreement of the 2 weeks. So that's, I mean, I'm no lawyer, but I don't know what's in his contract either, you know, in terms of what, you know, grounds they can have for this, but I'll be interested to see if anything pursues on that. Now, in terms of the team itself, you know, they're going to have a new coach who was a fine defensive coordinator at North Dakota State, which is a power in the FCS. So this guy was probably on the road to being a head coach somewhere in any event. So he's a defensive guy, which was what Fitzgerald basically was too. So really it will be as smooth a transition as you can imagine 2 months before the season. So obviously they're not going to put anybody else in until 24. So this guy is going to be the interim coach for the entire season. And, you know, there was some talk about canceling the season even. You know, that they just take it 0-11, which would make them about the same as last year. But but in any event, I expect that they'll, if this guy does a good job, maybe they'll keep him, or they'll go back to their pattern of the past 50 years and hire Chuck Martin from Miami University. You'll notice that going back to Eric Parsegian all the way to Walker, Randy Walker, that was their pattern of hiring Miami Ohio coaches. But in any event, we'll see what happens. I expect that this guy will do a decent job and you know, they'll move on, but there'll still be a cloud over the program for some time, obviously, kind of like the Blackhawks, even with the cloud that they had over their program for a while. And, you know, I think about that too, when you talk about, you know, stuff like 9/11, how many other times were there attempts to hijack planes? I'm wondering about how many other Big Ten teams have hazing and now, you know, everybody's going to be a little bit nervous. So, hazing happens. I mean, even in isolated incidents. I mean, I don't know how egregious or violent or whatever it is at the other institutions, but I suspect there's some. I mean, it's just boys will be boys kind of thing. But, well, you know, we'll see how that goes.
There's levels to this, right? Like, there's a difference between having your rookie pitcher put on a frozen backpack and walk from the dugout to the bullpen, and then there's having your offensive linemen get naked, put suds all over themselves, and you have to walk through them. Like, there's a difference in this. And I think this is why it's so fascinating, I think, for us, like, especially most of us who played sports, played as high as like varsity and, you know, nothing special, but that idea of like, we've been in locker rooms and there's certain levels of hazing. And then there's weird, like, there's things that go against what you think of the masculinity that is these sports, right? There's a lot of weird homophobia and homophobic things, yet there's a lot of things that these guys do that is really abrasively, you know, sexually aggressive, you know. And then there's the militarization of these sports too, right? Where you have these guys running, like in Jim Foster's case, running for 2 hour practices with no water. Like, there is a weird dynamic that we have seen. And you're bringing it to other programs. I think that's the scary thing, right? Like, this is not happening just at Northwestern. This is happening everywhere. What I think really shined a spotlight on this, there used to be in all media, trust in journalism, trust in your paper institute. They were kind of the fourth tier in this crazy political world, right? That they were supposed to be the unbiased ones. And I think cable news has kind of deteriorated all that. I think that has destroyed the trust in actual journalism, because when you actually look at where journalists live and the lives they live, they're not living the life of Rachel Maddow and Tucker Carlson. You know, like, that's not the case. Like, they're actually doing boots to the ground kind of work. And There's no beat reporter for the Sun-Times or the Chicago Tribune that worked the Northwestern beat anymore. So this, like, this can happen anywhere. This can happen anywhere because there's nobody there to be to hold these people accountable, to make sure that our student athletes, and I know that term has been kind of dismantled nowadays, but these are still students and these are still athletes that are children. These are children of parents that are spending a lot of money in these institutes. And we have to be able to entrust them and be able to hold them accountable and to see how much this athletic department and this entire institute just bungle the bag by horrible statement after horrible statement and dragging their feet and making horrible conclusions to this anyway. Like, they still believe that a Friday news dump was going to have everybody ignore the fact that they only gave him a 2-week suspension. And I think that's what's really disappointing in all this. And let's not forget how the repercussions of all this. They're trying to build a new $800 million stadium. We don't know where Pat Ryan stands on all this. We don't know if he was the one that was trying to drag the feet on firing Fitzgerald or if he was one who's saying, hey, we can't have this. And, you know, you've already had the neighborhood of Evanston, the students and the faculty kind of be like, hey, you're getting rid of programs and we're building a $800 million facility for all intents and purposes, a 500 team. What are we doing here? So when you heard that, Marver, now let's talk about the cynical part of this, like the repercussions of how bad this really can get. Northwestern's going to lose in a civil suit against Pat Fitzgerald. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be deposed, and you're going to have to go out there and talk on their oath. And then you might not get your stadium. Look, it's not the first time a major successful athletic program in the state of Illinois, in the city of Chicago, in the Chicagoland area has decided to take a step back and go down. So where are you on that?
You never know what's going to happen. I mean, the stadium, to me, is almost ridiculous. They're going to make, for a 500 team at best, they're going to have fewer seats, and they're going to have concerts and all kinds of stuff that the neighbors don't want, with alcohol, which the neighbors don't want. I mean, it's bad. You know, they're going to be people walking across your lawn, and God knows what they're going to do in public.
All times of night.
So, yeah. So that's the thing. But in terms of Pat Fitzgerald, you know, he had overtures to be a pro coach. Look at Rick Pitino. He's the head coach now at St. John's this year. So your career, you actually can end up okay. I mean, he'll be okay financially. We're not going to have a tag day for him. But he may get another job, seriously, in the pros. Why not?
Well, I mean, okay. So I really fast. I'm glad you brought this up. I honestly believe, just from the tea leaves and from what people are saying on the record and off the record, I don't think he was ever really a candidate the same way Harbaugh is for the NFL. I do believe that there are a lot of programs right now that are saying, do we have an open as an assistant, as a defensive coordinator? Do we have somebody ready? Is there an institute that is ready to give a head coaching position? Pat Fitzgerald may not be an NFL coach, but he sure as hell is going to be a college coach again. Look, you just talked about it. Think about all the disgraced head coaches, like disgraced head coaches. And he's still young. You know, it's not like Paterno, where it was an old man already just on the deathbed. The only thing that was keeping him up was the clipboard. Like, this is a man that in a few, give it a year or two, right? People forget the news cycle will continue. And here's the crazy thing. We just mentioned, right? This is not the only one. How long until there's another hazing allegation? How long until there's another program that just absolutely does something horrendous? So I think you're 100% correct. He is going to coach again. I just don't know if it's going to be this year or next year, but a team like Southern Illinois decides, like, hey, we need a head coach. You don't think Pat Fitzgerald will be like, cool, I'll go to Carbondale. Like, I think there's a chance. Like, Northern Illinois, like, even just locally, like, you just start naming Central Michigan. Like, just start naming local schools that kind of like, yeah, that adds up. Miami of Ohio. You talked about that school. Like, there are levels to this game still. That he can Bowling Green. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah, it's not crazy to think that he's going to coach again.
Yeah, you're right. He's 48 years old, by the way. And the new interim coach is named David Braun. By the way, I was just referring to him in the
Strong
third
name.
Person, but yeah. So, you know, again, this will unfold. They'll have their season. You know, they'll be 4-7 or whatever, 4-8, and they'll move on. So we'll, you know, that's an unfortunate blemish on Northwestern, which is has a lot of pride in their academics and you know, and the fact that their football team had been improving. They made the championship game of the conference not so long ago, which will never happen again to the new format, but where they're going to have no divisions after UCLA and USC enter. So it'll be, you know, you'll be able to have Michigan and Ohio State in the championship game.
There you go.
Possibly.
We'll talk about that. There's going to be so much. Shout out Jerry Riles. There's going to be plenty of arguments that we're going to have with the come football season. And yeah, you know what? I think Marver, what my final thought on the week that was, right? The last 10 days of the Northwestern hazing scandal. And this is not just Pat Fitzgerald, but Jim Foster. And then the way the athletic department and the entire school handled this, this was an opportunity for them to get ahead of it, to show that they were going to be a competent ran institute, that even in the face of something like this, the worst case scenario for them, they would be able to handle it and move forward. You would take the lumps, you would take the bumps, and you would take the blemish that is now on your institute, on your program, but you would be able to grow from it and be part of the community and install in the community that we are going to be a fixture in it. You are investing in us. We are going to invest in you. And instead, they did the total opposite. They thought everybody was dumb. They thought everybody would ignore it. They thought they were the smartest person in the room. And now the worst case scenario has happened to them. They have lost their face of the franchise, head coach that got him to a Rose Bowl, was a linebacker, part of the community. His son was going to play for the program. The same week that your baseball coach is accused of horrible work-like environments, while your athletic department's head of AD, your AD is gone on vacation, your president is having informal Zoom meetings and giving two-game suspensions and then firing somebody. This was the worst look for everybody. There are no winners in this case. And Northwestern had a chance to do something that a lot of these places don't do. And that's just be honest and work with people around them. Marver, any final thoughts? Yeah. Next week, I promise, we're going to be talking fun sports, right. Trade deadlines, right down the path. We got Women's World Cup soccer. Yeah. Like fun stuff, Marver. Wimbledon is going to finish up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we got some fun things, but I promise we had to cover this. I mean, we're not going to do the fun stuff and not cover the important things, but we will.
Sure.
This week will be a fun time. So,
a couple thoughts, though. Yeah.
Baseball, Jim Foster's gone.
Yeah.
You've had an interesting take about Northwestern baseball.
Sure. I thought Joe Girardi might be a good fit, being a former Northwestern player, and he still could do his gig with Marquee because the season ends in June. And he could do his half dozen games or whatever he chooses. It's like, I like the way that I think I'll do this game and maybe St. the Cardinals will do the Red Sox and the Yankees, you know, and then I'll go back to my hot tub. But, you know, we'll also, and then when you get a chance, I'm going to harp back again on the Major League balance schedule. Cleveland and the Cubs with 10 hours of rain delay. That proves my point.
We're not doing this. You know what, Marver? That's it. You're on timeout. You're on timeout for 1 week. Guys, thank you so much for all your input on this entire investigation that has unfolded on Northwestern's athletic department, the football and the baseball teams, both having some of the most catastrophic moments in their program's history. And now to see the fallout and the response has been really disappointing, but what hasn't been disappointing is the work of the student journalist at Medell at Northwestern, that in the face of all this ridicule, in the face of all this adversity, went out there and did the right thing. And guess what? They're not going to make millions of dollars. They're not going to get book deals, but they're sure as heck going to get a lot of hate on social media. And they're going to take it on the chin, because that's what true journalists do. And this is what happens when you entrust in the proper type of journalism. So shout out to them, and shout out to our amazing audience for being open on this conversation. Shout out to Devin Tingle, Paul Shivari, and the marvelous one, Dan Marver, for being the most amazing co-host and being open and honest about this entire situation, a sad one. And I want to thank each and every one of you. I'm your host, Mike Mercado, for being a part of The Sports Cubicle. We're all over the universe. Check us out on YouTube at The Sports Cubicle, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, at Sports from the Couch. And of course, WCPT SoundCloud at WCPT 820. And if you're going to be listening to this, you're going to have your earbuds on. You're going to be getting ready to relax and go to Never Everland. Make sure Mr. Sandman's giving a little bit of that sweet, sweet relief of sleep. Make sure you're doing it in style. Marver, I need you to tell the people, what can people expect when they go to our friends at
Sheets and Giggles? I can feel the eucalyptus at my nostrums instead of this haze. It's really making me feel sleepy.
You could get that euphoric feeling by going to Sheets and Giggles, the sports cubicle, sports from the couch. That's the Sheets and Giggles, sports cubicle, sports from the couch for 15% off. For the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, for Devin Single, for Paul Shavari, I'm Mike Mercado.